KOI in Portland, it's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford made all the overtures for improved relations between the White House and Congress Monday evening. What he said was, "I don't want a honeymoon with you. I want a good marriage." Afterwards, at his home in suburban Virginia, an obviously delighted President Ford was asked about that congressional marriage.
How long has this marriage been last?
I hope there's no divorce.
I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. In what maybe is a presidential first, the President of the United States was asked to review his own speech tonight. Usually the President returns to the White House and is not available to reporters, but that was not the case tonight with Mr. Ford. He thought it was a good speech, liked the congressional marriage line best. One reporter asked if he were nervous.
I wasn't nervous, but I was kind of overwhelmed with a warm reception. I've been in the typical House debate, and the subject of some good, sharp barbs from, and to be so nicely treated, it was just made you feel darn good.
President Ford speaking tonight outside his home in Virginia. CBS News continues after this.
If you think volunteers are people who just roll bandages, meet the San Diego Drum and Bugle Corps. They're all volunteers, from the bandmaster to the triangle player. And they'll perform at veterans' hospitals and community events at the twirl of a baton. If you think being a volunteer will tie up your free time, meet Pete Barrett. Pete's a volunteer when he goes fishing. He tags striped bass so scientists can study their habits. You see, volunteers are simply people. People who give part of their time and part of themselves to help other people. You can help, too, in your own special way, with your skills, your training, your concerns. We'll tell you how. Call the Voluntary Action Center in your town or write Volunteer, Washington, D.C., 20013. Volunteer. You'll never know how much good you can do until you do it. A public service of this station and the Ad Council.
Here are some of the main points made Monday night in President Ford's address to Congress. On defense, a strong defense is the surest way to peace. On foreign policy, a continuation of the present concept. On Watergate, there will be no illegal tappings, eavesdroppings, buggings, or break-ins in my administration. On inflation, it is the number one domestic enemy.
Just as escalating federal spending has been a prime cause of higher prices over many years, it may take some time to stop inflation, but we must begin right now. For a start, before your Labor Day recess, Congress should reactivate the Cost of Living Council through passage of a clean bill without reimposing controls that will let us monitor wages and prices to expose abuses.
Reaction from economists to Mr. Ford's plan to fight inflation was mixed. Dr. Milton Friedman had this comment.
I think the emphasis on the importance of government's responsibility for inflation, on the importance of cutting government spending, of reducing the role of government in people's lives, was very much needed and very appropriate. I was sorry to see a revival of the request for a cost of living council, because I cannot see that it can do anything but harm. Up to now, such councils have simply been a prelude to wage and price controls, which have been uniformly mischievous rather than helpful.
Economist Dr. Milton Friedman. CBS News continues after this.
This is Gene King for your Better Business Bureau. The Federal Truth in Lending Law is meant to help you, the customer, make informed decisions about borrowing money or buying on time, and to get the most for your money by letting you know exactly how much credit costs. Now, the two most important things to know in order to determine the cost of credit are, one, the finance charge, and two, the annual percentage rate. Now, the finance charge is the total of all charges, the interest and service or carrying charges that a creditor levies. And the law requires that this finance charge be expressed as an annual percentage rate so that you can really compare credit costs. The Truth in Lending Law does not fix interest rates or other credit charges, but it does give you a basis for comparison, you see, when you shop for money or goods on credit. Don't forget that. This has been a consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
The Senate has voted to extend until next summer the government's authority to control oil prices and allocate supplies. Under the law, the price of 60% of the nation's oil production is frozen at $5.25 a barrel. World prices average about $10 a barrel. 27 of the nation's largest oil companies reported profits up by almost 80% over the same period last year. The information was published Monday in the Oil and Gas Journal. The House has voted to make optional the seatbelt interlock system, which currently requires drivers to buckle up before they can start their cars. The seatbelt amendment would apply to car production as soon as the bill is signed into law. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Harry, the store called, and they're going to deliver the new refrigerator tomorrow.
Mm, that's nice.
Well, what do you think we ought to do with the old one?
Oh, I don't know. It's still working all right. I hate to throw it out.
Well, we have to move it someplace. We can't keep it in the kitchen.
Oh, have them move it down into the basement. It'll be out of the way down there.
Stop and think about that a moment, Harry. Moving an unused refrigerator to an out-of-the-way place without proper safeguards can be dangerous. Young children sometimes like to use stored refrigerators in the games they play. And if one should crawl inside and become trapped, he could suffocate in 10 minutes. But you can prevent such a tragedy by doing one of these simple things. Seal the refrigerator door shut, block it open, or remove it completely. There's a free booklet that shows you how. Write the Association of Home Appliance Manufacturers, 20 North Wacker Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60606. Remember, entrapment is not child's play, but a matter of life and death.
Marshall, welcome to the world of your own terrifying imagination. No storyteller is better loved than the gentle Robert Louis Stevenson, who wrote Treasure Island and A Child's Garden of Verses. But strangely, there was another side to Stevenson. He was also the man who could write the blood-curdling history of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And this tale of violence and voodoo you're about to hear, called The Beach of Falisa.
Here, take a look through my glass.
Thank you.
Catch a bit of white air to the east, eh?
Yes.
Yeah, that's your house. And George Underhill's already said, I've dropped into a soft thing here. Only saw him once more and he changed, all right.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know if it was the gin or a strange kind of sickness, but they found him one morning hanging upsides down from his veranda rail, crazy as a loon, carrying on about someone watering his copra. He died in a convulsion.
Oh, was it thought to be the island?
Oh, no proof. But the next man, Biggers, shot him. Blew his head right off. And the first of the line of the Benton Far East Company, old Adams, he just plain up and disappeared as though that damn tropical forest reached out like a octopus and swatted him. Oop, line and sinker. No, sir, Mr. Witcher, traitor or not, promotion with your company or whatever. You wouldn't get Captain Ben Randall here to set one foot on the beach at Palisar.
Our mystery drama, The Beach of Falisar, was especially adapted from the Robert Louis Stevenson classic for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Alexander Scourby. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Excuse me, sir, but do you know what happens this time of year?
Right on, pal. I happen to know that right about now, a freak blizzard falls on Dumont, New Jersey, and they're snowed in for the rest of the summer. Happens every year.
No. You see, what happens this time of year is that you can get a particularly good deal on what is perhaps the most luxurious mid-sized car on the market, the mid-sized Buick Century Regal.
Well, what good's a car when you're hopelessly snowed in?
Well, that's a point.
Once upon a time, there came to pass a new law, and great changes came over the people. They were happy and busied themselves at work they enjoyed. They were kind to the earth, and it gave back to them. No one had to lock doors or put fences around their land. Everyone had enough to eat. The sick and the aged were cared for. The people stood proud and tall.
In the land of make-believe, there were no poor. The Campaign for Human Development is working to make the same thing happen in our real world.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job, but what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
Is the oil from the coconut and is used in the manufacture of soap and margarine. 75 years ago, when Robert Louis Stevenson was alive, young Britishers would mortgage 10 years of their lives in the Pacific Islands to make their pile and come back to England to establish a business of their own. This, then, is Henry Wilcher's story, which he can tell better than I.
It might not seem like much to you, but when you've been down the line as long as I have, that beach of Falaise looked like a ruddy city. I mean, there were houses, what passed for a couple of streets, a church, and even a few of my own countrymen. For nearly 4 years, I'd been cut off in a mucky little island maybe 15 miles long, but narrow enough so you could spit across it given the right wind. So whatever the ruddy captain said about Falaise, I didn't pay him no mind. It wouldn't be long before I'd be finding out I should have. But right then, I was as excited as a kid at his first circus. Here's a boat coming now. She's right in the pass. Looks to be a 16-foot whaler. Two white men in the stern sheets.
Let's see that glass.
Aye,
that's Case, all right. And the pastor with him.
Case?
Trader with another company.
Oh, I'll be glad of somebody who speaks my own language.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure of that. Jeremy Case has a gallows bad reputation.
You know what a place the beach is for talking. Well, it's right nice of them to come out to greet and fetch me.
Yeah. Not you.
Huh?
What'll you bet it's gin they're after, eh? I'll lay you 5-2. They take 6 cases.
When the two traders came aboard, I was pleased with both of them. One was a Kanaka, to be sure. Case would have passed muster in a city. He was smallish, had a hawk's nose to his face, pale eyes, and a beard neatly scissor-trimmed. It was clear he came of good family, was splendidly educated. He had the courage of a lion and the cunning of a rat. And if he's not in hell today, there's no such place.
A pleasure to make your acquaintance, Mr. Wiltshire. Jeremy Case bids you welcome to Falaise.
Thank you kindly. Sorry we're to be in competition.
Ah, there's enough for all. I pray you better luck than your predecessors. Oh, I'm forgetting my manners. This is our pastor.
Pleasure to meet you, Pastor.
Falaise, honor to have you join our community.
We shall hope to see you at Sunday service.
Monsieur, Captain, it's a well-favored wind that's blown you our way so soon.
Oh, you mean Vickers left me a cargo of copra?
Sorry to disappoint you, Captain. Not a drop, I'm afraid. Neither copra or gin. I'm only praying to God your ship is not as dry as his warehouse.
What did I tell you, Mr. Witcher? How many cases?
You couldn't spare six.
Well, even though I don't ship for your copra company, I laid in plenty. I'll have your six brought up from the old. Cash on the line, eh?
Yes, always. Mr. Wilchazer, if you don't mind the suggestion, let's round up your belongings and load them in the whaleboat.
Well, I wouldn't want to be any trouble.
No, please don't let me hear no argument. Oh, there's nothing like gin and lime to settle the stomach, cool the brain, and ease the mind.
Yes. Very kind of you to stand me a couple at the bar like this. What's the name of this place?
Whistling Jimmy's.
Oh, must be a cheery sort.
Was.
Huh?
We caught him watering the copra. He took a bullet in the throat. Well, let's have another round.
No, thanks. I must be off for my house and stop to get things shipshape. Besides, I must not leave Mano alone too long.
Mano? Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather when you hauled that 10-year-old out from between decks and said he was part of your belongings. You are a strange man. How can you saddle yourself with a Kanaka brat, club-footed at that? What happened to the mother?
She was killed.
By whom?
Her husband.
Why?
For daring to bear an island chief a son who was not perfect.
And you brought the child up?
No, the child was hidden and brought up by its nurse. When I came as trader to the island, the old woman cooked and cared for me, and I learned to know the boy. Shortly before I left the island, the old woman died. When it came time for me to go, I knew that Manu would be left to die. He was taboo, you see. So I brought him with me.
For what?
Well, no one deserves to die before his time.
A man dies when he has to.
Well, I've no wish to quarrel with so generous a host, but I must be off.
No, and I must go with you. Now, more than ever, we are ready to consummate the first rite for any man of our race on this island.
Huh?
Come, let's go.
Case insisted on paying treat and led me outside the bar. And I found myself staring at a crowd of girls, all dressed out for me.
They're ugly, but the best we could muster, old man.
Huh?
Chap has to have wife.
Oh, no, I'm not so sure that...
You can have any one of these for a plug of tobacco. Besides, we have it all fixed up nice and legal. You just nip inside the bar once you've picked your chicken, and Blackjack the bartender manages you nice and proper. No, he's a chaplain, you know.
Yes, but I don't want to marry.
Leave all that to Jeremy Case, eh? Out of it, as easy as in. Besides, you need a cook and someone to clean, and a man's got to have companionship or he's no man, yeah? Well, there now. Look them over.
Yes, well, I don't know. They all look a little broad in the bing.
Ah, not the one I've picked for you, lad. Look.
She'd just come up from fishing, wearing nothing but a chemise all wetted through. She was young and slender, with a long face and a high forehead. And a shy, strange, childish look between a cat's and a baby's. Who is she?
That's Uma. If you take my advice, you take her.
Aye, but will she take me?
What choice has she? But if you like, I'll ask her.
He crossed to her and spoke to her in Polynesian. For a moment she spoke to him in her pretty Polynesian voice. And she nodded and came toward me with a free-swinging stride. She was the color of dark honey. Whether it was the breeze or were her as she stood in front of me,
She smelled of wild lime and vanilla.
Me, Uma. I am no ever, no man thing. You want me. I marry you.
I'm Sam Wiltshire.
Sam Wiltshire?
No, Wiltshire.
Yes, Wiltshire.
Well, I reckon that's as close as you'll get. You'll be calling me Sam, anyway.
Yes, sir. Sama.
I suppose that'll do, too. Did Case tell you about the boy?
Mano? All the same, you, son. Where you wife? You have other wife?
No wife.
Good. Oh, please, Sama. I wish for marry you. But not like this.
Huh?
I'm no bumboat woman. I be dressed all the same bride. You see? And I no marry you inside there. I marry you here. In open air. When sun halfway from palm tree tip to sea.
Light as a feather, she was on her feet and gone. Not running, but moving swiftly. Her head held high as though she was a ruddy countess.
That means she'll be back about four-ish. Well, come on, we've time to hoist a few before the nuptials begin. Take a seat, Richard. Excuse me for a moment. The bartender is also the minister, you remember?
Oh, yes.
Yes, Marquis. Gin and I've...
In a moment, we'll be drinking all round. And you need your paper collar. There's to be a wedding.
Ah, sabe. New trader, ah? Same kind of paper, like always.
Of course. I'll come with you. Write it out for you.
Must I still not say who? Lucky girl.
Uma.
Uma. No can do. Bad magic to white man like that. Not with Uma. You know that girl.
I know that girl is the one to whom I want him married. To whom I will have him married. It suits our business. You understand?
Yes, Massa. If Massa say so. Black Jack know only one thing. This can only end bad. He's written in sand. Two people die.
What kind of man is this Jeremy Case? And what his purpose? By what combination of charm, legerdemain, or simple threat does he seem to rule Thalassar, to hold its people in the palm of his hand? Last of all, why should the enormous man called Blackjack shake with an unknown terror at the impending marriage of the new arrived trader Wiltshire to by far the loveliest girl in the atoll? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Anything about my future?
If you lift your pocket and gaze with me into the crystal ball. Ah, yes. It is beginning to clear. I can almost see.
Oh, tell me what you see, Madame Xanadu.
See that you are coming into some money.
I am?
Yes, and you will continue to receive even more.
Oh, how much money will I get, Madame Xanadu?
You will receive $4.20.
$4.20?
Yes, every payday. Because you cover the amount of federal income tax you now have withheld from your pay.
Oh, for heaven's sake. What else do you see in that ball?
I see you filling out a new W-4 form so that you can begin receiving your windfall.
This message presented on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
The cabin is on fire, Mabel. We've got to make a run for it.
But, John, there are 700 savage Indians out there, and the river's dry.
I know, my dear, and this is the worst blizzard in 50 years, but never fear.
Do you have your rifle, John?
I have it, Mabel. Come, my dear. It's only 90 miles to town.
Oh, John.
Run now, Mabel.
Some folks just can't help having their blood pressure go up sometimes. But it usually goes back down again when things settle down.
We've made it, Mabel.
Oh, John, you're wonderful.
Yes, it's when the blood pressure goes up and stays there that you have hypertension or high blood pressure. Hypertension adds to the work of the heart and can set the stage for heart attack and stroke. Your doctor can diagnose hypertension, and he can treat it effectively. Your Heart Association suggests that you see him regularly for a checkup.
What now, John?
I don't know. I've lost the script.
The beach of Falisa, a tropical paradise. Surely one of the loveliest settings for the most sacred rite between a man and a woman. And in Robert Louis Stevenson's tale, certainly the scene was magical. In his own words, the sun was down and the sky all afire. Uma was dressed and scented. Her kilt was a fine kappa, looking richer in the folds than any silk. She showed the best bearing for a bride, serious and still.
And I thought shame to stand up beside her before that great grinning mountebank with his paper collar, making believe to read from an old volume of some novel, the words of his service not fit to be set down. And the document we signed. Since Case wrote it, let it be his voice to read it.
This is to certify that Uma, daughter of Farvao, of Faleza, is illegally married to Mr. Sam Wiltshire. And Mr. Sam Wiltshire is entitled to send her packing when he pleases. Signed this day, etc., etc., etc.
It was the practice in these parts. And all I could feel was so ashamed I had to be gone as soon as possible. Uma said she could show me to our house. Well, we strolled through the lush vegetation together until, forgetting myself, almost as though she was some girl in the old country, I unconsciously took her hand. To my surprise, after a sudden gasp, she caught my hand to her face and pressed it there.
You're good.
It was all she said. Then she ran quickly up the cliff upon me. Don't upset him.
No. He must have it. You are his tiki. He gives him life.
Oh. We understand each other. Hey, man, both and both.
Wait, you wait. I'm not. Put it down.
Good night, Sama.
Good night.
This place be good. You bad. Good night, Uma. Tonight, Mano go sleep by and by Bahavo's house.
Why? This is your house.
Father, say more better. Tonight is wedding night, Sama.
All right. I'll walk you and Father home. All right? During the walk back, my mind reeled with all that had happened at first for the sun. I seemed to have suddenly dropped years from my life. Uma had kindled the lamp, and among all my tumbled possessions, she stood straight like a lamplight shining on her skin. I was ashamed of the waver feeling I had for this native, ashamed of the marriage and that worthless paper. I had to pluck up a lot of courage to enter.
Hello, Sama. Welcome. This, your home.
Aloha, Wahine.
No, Wahine. Me, your wife. But know what you want?
Can't find out what's come over me.
Oh, what you do?
Huh?
This case with supply by Cobra.
This supply buys nothing but trouble. Get me that.
Here.
Ask who?
Yes, Summer.
That's better. I could regret this. I could regret it 1,000 times. It isn't too late. But something good is happening. First, Mano, someone to take care of. And now...
Yes, it's Hama. What you do?
Miss.
That huffy shoes.
Yes.
Why you do that?
You know why we come here, Uma? To the world. We who call ourselves white and think we rule the world.
Trade for cobra oil.
Right. So we can make enough money to go back to the old country and become kings. But in the meantime, the rock sets in and the dream gets twisted. It's another world. A bloke don't belong. So he drowns himself in this. No good. A man who drinks is no good.
I think you one good man. Moon set, sun die, all things. Uma belong you. Till I die.
For the next 3 days, Uma, Manu, and I worked our hearts out setting up the store and getting ready for business. I didn't see hide or hair of Case, but he told me he did a good deal of hunting and that it was very good in the bush, so I paid little attention. By Friday morning, we were ready for business. By Friday noon, not one customer had climbed the veranda steps. By Saturday morning, even the watching crowd of natives were gone. That night, I went to the bar in search of Case.
Evening, Mother Oja. What do you like?
Nothing to drink, thanks. I'm looking for Mr. Case.
Oh, Mother Case. He take trip one other island.
Oh, I see. Jack, do the people know my store is opening and I'm ready to trade?
Sure, Master, sure.
Then why don't they come?
Maybe no copra this time. Not rain. I not know. Just make drink for happiness.
Yeah. Jack, tell me, what happened to Vigors, the man who had my station before me?
Vigor, he was cleaning shotgun and...
Yeah. And it suddenly went off and blew his head off?
Gun is bad thing.
In the wrong hands. Was Mr. Case on the trip then?
Oh, no. Mr. Case, I don't remember. I think maybe, yes.
And Adam, the one before?
He drink too much.
I see. What about Andy?
Talk too much, Master Welcher. People, they wait for drink. This Saturday.
I left the bar feeling everyone's eyes on me. I'd been too long in the islands not to sense what might be going on. I just couldn't guess why. And I had a cold, shaky feeling at the base of my spine. There's something wrong, Uma. What is it?
Nobody come trade. Yes?
Yes. Why?
To be taboo.
Why?
Nobody will speak. How can Uma know?
One man knows everything around here. When he gets back, I'll know. Or find out the reason why. Case?
Who's that?
Wiltshire, I want to talk to you. And put that pistol away.
Reflex action, old boy. Not much time to talk, though. I just got back and
I know, I've been waiting for you. Case, here's a queer thing maybe you can answer. I'm tabooed.
Now you can't be. Not possible. However, just to put your mind at rest, I'll scout round and make sure. Well, I rounded it up with the chiefs, and if you ask me, it's the worst kind of thing I've ever heard of.
I am tabooed then, eh?
Something of the sort. The people won't go near you, Wiltshire. It seems, for some reason, they're frightened of you.
You've gone crazy, Case. What are they frightened of?
I wish I could make out. It's like all their tomfool superstitions.
You haven't been to my house once, Case, since I came. Own up now.
I was busy. It was an oversight. I'm sorry for it. But about coming now, Wiltshire, I'd be quite plain.
Yeah? You mean you won't?
I'm awfully sorry, old man. But that's about the size of it.
In short, you're afraid.
In short, I'm afraid.
You belong here, Uma, if anyone can understand. Tell me, why am I tabooed?
You mean you know Savvy?
How could I? We don't have such crazy things where I come from.
Taboo belong all to me.
To you?
Yes. Keith want me for his woman, but I no want him. They tell me, you love me so much, you no care. He no tell me, you no get Cobra. So, I can live.
What?
That will go too. Then, you get much Cobra. You like it, go better that way. Don't find me.
No, hold on, Uma. Kay seems to have played it pretty mean on the two of us. But I know now, and I don't want you to go away. I love you too much.
No. Tell me true.
Uma, I tell you true. I would rather have you than all the copra in the South Seas.
Now I die little. Because I am so much love.
Me too. But, Uma, tell me, why are you taboo?
Uma! Mama! Listen!
Who?
Listen, Harry. He tell you everything more better from me.
As I came out on the veranda, the mission boat was shooting for the mouth of the river. So I started strolling down towards the river. From the opposite side, there was a man heading for the same place. And as he saw me, he started to run and got there first, as though to keep me from seeing the missionary. At the sight of him, rage flew into my nostrils and I raced him to the pier. Get out of here, you little swindling thief!
Don't be a fool.
Well, I have been since I came here.
I have business here with the missionary.
So have I. And I don't want you eavesdropping, so I give you notice to clear out.
I don't take it, though.
He was quick with his hands, but had neither my height nor weight. Besides, I was blazing with a wrath that would have bit into a chisel. I hit him twice, once with each hand, and he went down with blood spreading on his face like a napkin. Have you had enough? Answer me or I'll kick it out of you.
I could have put a bullet through you. Yes, enough for this time with the missionary and his crew as witnesses. But next time, I'll kill you.
Father Tarleton, sir. I'm Sam Wiltshire.
Benton Company's new trader.
The same.
You make a poor impression rolling on the dock with a man half your size.
A giant on this island, Father Tarleton. He seems to control it. Father Tarleton, I need your help.
It was Case that you knocked down.
It was.
You're either a brave or a foolish man. I can promise you nothing except extreme unction when you need it. As I fear you may, since I know no way to protect you from the evil Balizar casts on your kind.
Why should a missionary, constantly out of touch with the process of life as he travels from forsaken island to island, envisage the imminence of death? There are more mysteries that haunt these islands than the ancient one of Taboo. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then, open a can or a bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's
how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I'm going to rent this apartment, but now the landlord wants a deposit equal to 2 months' rent to cover damage. I wonder if there's anything I should do to protect myself.
It certainly is, Mac.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. You know, deposits are usual, but before you move into that apartment, go through it thoroughly and list any and all damage. Now prepare this list in duplicate and have your landlord sign both copies. And before you sign that lease, find out what sort of repairs you will be responsible for and which will be paid by the landlord.
Then when you move, this list helps to solve the mystery of who's to pay for what, right?
Right.
Wilshire set up the hill to his house, left poor Father Tarleton sweating under his bulky robe and more than a little out of breath. But if he harbored any unchristian thoughts about his host, they were quickly cleared when he learned the first purpose of his visit.
Now, here's the way of it, Father Tarleton. This is Uma, the woman I was married to by Black Jack.
The bartender.
Mr. Jeremy Case, Esquire, informed me he was a pastor. The certificate was written by that same Mr. Case, a dandy piece of literature, I promise you. But I'm not ducking any responsibility. I'm what you call a sinner, and I want you to help me to make it up to the person I deceived.
I shall be happy if I can.
Right. Uma, give me your marriage certificate.
Oh, but what do you want?
Come on, you can trust me.
You no hurt Uma?
Give me that and I'll show you. Now, since I signed this piece of paper, I found I'm taboo in this place because of my so-called wife, and I cannot trade. I want to be married right, by a real missionary. So fire away, Father. Well, there was quite a to-do, I can tell you. Mano and Pavao had to be brought in. Uma had to be back in her wedding togs. And I took the father aside and asked him to say the service in native to please the others. We had two of the crew in for witnesses, and finally it was all bound up right and proper.
Mr. Wiltshire, I have rarely performed a marriage ceremony with more grateful emotions.
Thank you, Father Tarleton.
Do you want to know why your wife is taboo?
Of course I do.
I can tell you at least part of it. Old John Adams traded for your company. Shortly after he came here, he was stricken with the palsy. Massive. General. All of him frozen except one eye, which winked. Constantly winked. This vile fellow Case worked up the word that he was the evil eye, that he was the devil, and would destroy the island. He persuaded the villagers to take this poor old man to the other end of the village and bury him alive. Only one person tried to save him. Your wife.
I work for him. He's kind. No devil.
Case won two battles. He removed a rival trader, and he was able to punish Uma for refusing his advance. Because she tried to stop the burying, he said the evil eye had entered her, and she was made taboo.
But Case, he promised on Bible, my taboo, not yours.
All right, wife. I don't blame you. Father?
Yes, son?
It's all of a piece, isn't it? Vickers never blew his head off. That was done for him. Underhill? He was a booze hound, which should have made it easy. He was poisoned. and Adams. Buried alive. Now I'm tabooed.
The motive is obvious, even if we have no proof. A man like Case could only enjoy his single-handed control through fear.
Fear? What fear? He's only a man, and a small one at that.
But he holds some dread terror over their heads. I cannot stay this trip, for I am due at Fale Alihi. I will return as soon as I can. As for Case, without proof, there's little I can do.
Don't you worry about Case, Father. Now that everything's in the open, as it were, you let me handle Case. I didn't see him to speak to for several weeks. Meanwhile, Manu, Uma, Favao, and myself occupied our time making copra with our own hands by piddling him out for all the labor. Finally, out of sheer frustration and boredom, and because we were tired of a steady diet of canned goods and local fruit and nuts, and to cheer up lonely little Manu, we went hunting. And I bumped into Black Jack. Hey, Jack. No road going eastward?
Oh, one time, one road. Now he dead.
Nobody he go there?
No good. Too much dabo he stop there. Man, he go there. No come back.
You know plenty about devil. You think me one?
No think devil. All the same fool.
Uma, she devil? Before he could answer, far across the bay, I see Case come out from the hanging front of the wood, a gun cradled in his elbow. Hello, my friend. You know talk all is saying true.
Case go, he come back. Case no other same.
Huh?
Case, Tiamolo.
Uma, I met Blackjack when I was hunting today. And I saw Case coming from the east end of the island, where there's no trail. Tell me, Uma, what does Tiapolo mean?
Dabai.
I thought Aitu was the word for that.
Aitu. Other kind devil. Live in bush. Eat kanaka. Here, fellow, big chief devil.
Huh?
Live in home. All the same, Christian devil.
Then I'm no further forward. Jack says Case is Tiapolo.
No, all the same. Case belong Tiapolo. Case all the same, his son. Suppose Case, he wish something. Diabolo, he make him.
Well, that's right convenient. Like what? Out came such a rigmarole of stories I couldn't make head nor tail of them. It seemed that in the forest, Case had a church where Case worshipped. I now began to have a glimmer of how Case had acquired his position. And though he was a tough nut to crack, I was no ways cast down.
You no go there. I no like you.
Uma, nothing would stop me now. I want to have a look at that place of worship myself, and then we'll see about the glorifying.
But nobody go there, unless Diopolo, he protect you.
I'll chance it with God's protection. I'm a good enough sort of fellow, I hope, for God to con me through. I left at dawn the next day. Began to hack my way laboriously through the jungle. Queerness of the high bush is impossible to describe. Suddenly, I heard a sound that was so strange it chilled my blood and left me twittering in my shoes. But this was a sound my ear could follow. Finally, I spotted it and climbed the tree to it. Crudely made, from a candle box with a brand still on it and banjo strings. A wind harp. I think the upper class name is Aeolian or something like that. All right for you, Mr. Case. You frightened me once, but I defy you to frighten me again. I slid down the tree and, coming to the bottom of it, found the path that led me to my destination. Rum sort of place, too. There was a wall no Kanaka ever built. Must have been century upon century old, winding around a longish mound of earth. On top of the wall was a line of queer idols, carved and painted faces, and ugly to view, with teeth of shell and brightly clothed with cloaks that blew in the wind. And other harps were sounding from all sides. In a moment, I was up over the wall into the mound of earth. Digging off the roof of earth, I found a tarpaulin stretched on boards. So this was the roof of a cellar. I climbed in, and there, around the corner, was a shining face of appalling ugliness, waxed and covered with luminous paint that occasionally smoked. Now that I knew how to fix Mr. Case, I went home.
I know that you go.
I'll tell you what. You fish me out your Bible and I'll take that with me. That'll make me all right.
Maybe. But I know let Mano go with you.
Mano isn't scared of Aitu. Not white man's. Right, Mano?
Mano no scared. Wait, Sama.
Besides, I need him to carry the fuses and the lantern. I have gunpowder, two dynamite bombs, gun, a machete to chop down those harps, knife.
Mano, go! He's no supper, woman.
That's telling her. Mind well, girl, I come back. Whole world is right. We almost didn't make it that night. Poor little Mano with his lame leg. But once there, it was easy. My charges set in the cellar, the harps hacked down as we passed them, the statues piled on the top, the fuse laid, my patent match lit. Only one small difficulty. On the way, half our fuse line had been lost, and I must have overestimated the amount of explosives needed for when they caught.
Keep your head down, Mano. You all right?
You betcha! Bow! Bow! Some other thing, bingo bongo!
We better get out of here. Now, wait, let me light the lantern. There. Now, let me lift it and see just where...
Ah,
no. Nothing out!
What?
Oh, why you talk so big voice? Case, he's coming.
My God, Uma, is that you? You're not afraid?
Oh, too much afraid. I think I die.
Well, me too. How far is Case beyond you?
I not know. I lost. He be here. One, two...
Good Lord. And me with a lantern lit. Fool that I am.
Blow it out! Blow it out! Oh.
Mano!
Oh.
Ah. And this is for you, Wilcox!
You've never had a leg bone smashed and tried to move. You've never known pain. It was a foolish move all around, for I couldn't reach my gun, and it alerted Case. He approached me carefully, his Winchester trained on me, his lips drawn back in a snarl that was supposed to be a smile.
You fool. If you left well enough alone, I'd have made some deal with you later.
Liar, you murderer. You have one more shot at me. Better be sure to be close enough so you don't miss again.
Right between the eyes. Are you ready?
Venus taught as a ship's hawser, but the moment he was close enough, I had him by the ankle, plucked the feet right from under him, and was on top of him with broken leg and all before he could breathe. His gun was gone, and he fastened his teeth in my arm like a weasel. Much I cared. My leg gave me all the bang I had used for, and I drew my knife, and I got it in place. That's for Underhill. That's for Adams. That's for Vickers. That's for poor little Mono. And this is for Uma.
For myself. What is there left to care for? I have nothing left.
Huh? Where am I?
Home.
My leg?
It is set. It will heal.
Uma. You're all right.
Yes. I still your little wife. Bullet hit only shoulder. Soon heal.
And Mano?
He gone.
Huh?
Join ancestors.
Oh, poor little boy.
You listen me, my husband. Uma, your wife. I make promise. I bear you strong, boy. Take Mano's place.
for Lewis Stevenson, Uma bore Sam his son, just as she promised. And for good measure, two daughters, who fortunately looked like her. With the curse at last removed, Sam Wiltshire wanted no other home than the beach of Falaisa. I'll be back shortly.
Pardon me, miss. Can you tell me what happens this time of year?
Rhubarb reaches its peak.
No.
Muskmelon reaches its peak.
No, no.
Does it in any way involve something reaching its peak?
No, not really.
Oh.
What happens this time of year is that you can get a really outstanding deal on Buick's small but surprisingly elegant Apollo. And with what's happening to prices, you may never have a better chance to buy a Buick, huh?
Hey, I know what happens.
Yeah?
The buzzards come back to Hinckley Ridge, Ohio.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't thought of that.
How long would it take you to read a brief three-page pamphlet on drugs? 3 minutes? 4 minutes? Well, not very long. And it would be time well spent. For your free pamphlet, write Drugs, Box 8200, Albany, New York. That's Drugs, Box 8200, Albany, New York. But don't wait. Time might be running out. This message nationwide, brought to you by the New York State Drug Abuse Control Commission.
This was not Sam's headstone. It was Robert Louis Stevenson. But it might as well have been. Under the wide and starry sky, dig the grave and let me lie. Here did I live and gladly die, and I laid me down with a will. Our cast included Alexander Scourby, Evie Juster, Ian Martin, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Preview of our next tale.
I tried writing about an actual incident out of my own life, but it came out garbage. Even I could recognize it was trash. That's when I heard the voice for the first time. Right out of the guts of the typewriter.
Get up, Dorn. Look at you. You're a miserable sight.
Can't be. I'm just hearing things. A typewriter that talks. I must be going off my rocker.
No, you're not. I exist, and what I say is real.
Who are you? What are you?
To start with, I am not a typewriter. I control it like I control you. You're both equally primitive mechanisms.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford promised an all-out fight against inflation in his address to a joint session of Congress Monday night. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. As expected, Mr. Ford said that the economy would be his number one concern.
My first priority is to
work with you to bring inflation under control. Inflation is domestic enemy number one. To restore economic confidence, the government in Washington must provide some leadership. It does no good to blame the public for spending too much when the government is spending too much.
Mr. Ford specifically asked Congress to reactivate the Cost of Living Council, which died last June 30th when former President Nixon abandoned wage price controls. Mr. Ford said that he did not want to reimpose economic controls, but that he would like the council to monitor wages and prices in order to expose abuses. The president also announced that he would convene a domestic summit meeting of members of Congress, the president's top economic advisors, and what Mr. Ford called some of the best economic brains from labor, industry, and agriculture. The proposal for such an economic summit meeting was made by Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield a month ago. But Mr. Ford's suggestions to cut inflation are not enough, according to economist John Kenneth Galbraith.
If anyone is serious about inflation, there's a simple test, and that's whether he's willing to increase taxes or not. Whether he's willing to increase taxes and impose controls. Until any politician is willing to face up to those things, there is no real answer on inflation.
Galbraith added that Mr. Ford's speech was the speech, obviously, of a very nice man. Unfortunately, says Galbraith, the economy has no reputation of being nice to nice people. More reaction to Mr. Ford's address after this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
Former President Nixon sent a telegram to Mr. Ford Monday night congratulating him on what Nixon called a splendid address. Reaction on Capitol Hill to Mr. Ford's speech was very favorable, as Hal Walker reports.
President Ford was among friends on Capitol Hill, and the atmosphere was relaxed. He came with a call for communication, conciliation, compromise, and cooperation. He spoke softly, and if he carried a big stick, he successfully hid it from his former colleagues in the legislative branch. And they responded in kind. Republicans and Democrats gave the speech high marks. House Speaker Carl Albert repeated his promise to go more than halfway with the new president. Minority Leader John Rhodes agreed that the president faced a new era of relations between the executive and legislative branches. Senator Walter Mondale took Mr. Ford to task for failing to mention campaign reform and for seeming to exempt the Pentagon from budget cuts, but he generally called the address a good job. And Charles Rangel, leader of the Congressional Black Caucus, said that he was terribly optimistic over Mr. Ford's offer of cooperation with the Congress and his invitation to meet with the black members of the House. The marriage between Gerald Ford and the Congress is far from its first anniversary or even its first domestic quarrel. But it did look like the start of a good honeymoon. Hal Walker, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
More in a minute.
Stanley Myron Handelman.
You know what question really bugged me when I was a kid? What do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, how was I supposed to know? I was just a kid. I wanted to play ball with my friends, Weasel, Scoot, and Crazy Legs Beck. Besides, what was so terrible about someday being a 58-year-old stiffball player? Actually, back then we didn't have much choice. Either you were going on to a four-year college or you were going nowhere. But today it's different. Today you can have a great career with only a year or two of technical education and yet make as much as somebody who puts in 4 years at college. Their careers as technicians in fields like engineering, health service, chemistry, environmental control, even nuclear research. For the facts, send for a free booklet called 25 Technical Careers in 2 Years or Less. Write Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Seven people were injured Monday night when the Amtrak train they were riding in was derailed near Wake Forest, North Carolina. All but one of the injured were treated and released at local hospitals. Pennsylvania State Police are now looking for a stolen car being driven by four escapees from the Lewisburg Penitentiary. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
A fire threatened the Georgia Pacific Veneer Mill in the town of Rogue River tonight, but winds blew the blaze away from the mill. It consumed two stacks of logs, then jumped a road where it got into trees and grass. At last reported, it consumed 30 acres and was out of control. A GP spokesman said about 40 persons work at the mill and that operations will resume normally tomorrow. Oregon and Washington officials still are hopeful they can persuade Central Washington farmers to drop opposition to relocation of the Boardman Navy bombing range in their area. The farmers around Grand Coulee Dam have been presented with the relocation proposal, but so far will have none of it. Oregon Representative Stafford Hansel and five others want to see the Boardman area developed agriculturally. In addition, a nuclear power plant proposed for the area can't be built until the bombing range is moved, and the Navy says it won't budge until a suitable alternative to the Boardman site is found. Hansel said an overall agreement with the Washington farmers would be hard to reach because each has different ownership and tax situations. A Portland area man accused of the hammer killings of four persons goes on trial here in town tomorrow. He's 30-year-old Colin J. Hawkins. He was arrested April 3rd. Hawkins is accused of murdering Howard and Arlene Weeks and two neighbor boys, Todd and Kevin Wiebe, March 25th in the Weeks' home. That trial is expected to last about 6 days. A special committee on solid waste started work today that would provide financial incentive for use and reclaiming of recyclable materials. The committee is headed by State Representative Paul Hanneman of Cloverdale. It approved a resolution urging the Interstate Commerce Commission to lower rail rates for transportation of recyclable materials. The proposed memorial will go to the next legislature. Other incentives being considered by the committee include lower license fees for vehicles that carry recyclable materials and lower taxes for firms involved in recycling. Salmon gillnetters on the Columbia River resolved their price dispute with packers today. They agreed to a price of 75 cents a pound for Chinook salmon. They've been asking the same price they got last year, $1 a pound. Packers said the lower price reflects buyer resistance to higher retail prices. The two-week early fall season opened last night. Some of the country's top country and western singers are due this week at the Lane County Fair in Eugene. That fair opens Thursday. Scheduled are Loretta Lynn, Tom T. Hall, Mac Davis, and Buck Owens. Mostly cloudy, but with partial afternoon clearing through Wednesday. So goes the local forecast. A slight chance of shower in the forecast, too. It goes on to say lows should be in the mid-50s, with the highs both days expected to be between 70 and 75 degrees. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Rain chance 20% tomorrow, then 10% tomorrow night. Currently in downtown Portland, 63 degrees. AC Emmerich, 97 News.
Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, back by my side. Yes, it's been quite a summer. Rent-a-cars and westbound trains. And now you're off on vacation. Something you try to explain.